This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Escape from the Sea is a group exhibition that will be opening soon. It's very title. It reminds me of news on TV telling us about how Britain is taking steps to exit the European Union, about US President Trump's promised barrier wall between the United States of America and the Federal Republic of the United Mexican States. Add to that the Australian refugee deal that now has angered the new US president. In our own country, according to our government, Malaysia is home to at least 1 million undocumented foreign workers. There are also refugees here. And as Malaysia is not a signatory to the 1951 UN Refugee Convention, these refugees do not have any legal status, although the UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency in the country, acknowledges the Malaysian government's cooperation in addressing, quote, refugee status on humanitarian grounds. Three people, all involved in curating the exhibition Escape from the Sea, are here. And with me, they are Yap Sao Bing, Hattori Hiroyuki, and Go Zi Ying. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
First, how did this exhibition come about?
The project is actually part of the Japan Foundation Asia Center Initiative project. It's called Condition Report, and it's actually a curatorial workshop project.
Tell me more about this Condition Report. Well, is that like the first step towards this project?
In a way, it's actually the second time the Japan Foundation Asia Center has done it. It's actually a curatorial project whereby they invite proposals from young curators, emerging curators in Southeast Asia and working together with museum curators from Japan. So it's a network and also a workshop whereby we develop programs together. So in this time, what happened is that they are inviting the senior curator or the facilitators for each workshop from different cities. There are four cities: Manila, Bangkok, Jakarta, and Kuala Lumpur. So actually, I'm working together with Hattori's son for Kuala Lumpur.
So this started off as a
umbrella
curatorial
project.
Yeah, umbrella.
Sense,
so yeah. Who initiated this particular project? I assume that Manila is not doing the same project called Escape from the Sea. So somebody must have come up with this title, Escape from the Sea, this project.
Yeah, during the initial workshop, the general scope from the Asia Center asked us to think about what is Southeast Asia. So when I'm united together with Hattori-san, we start discussing what is possible and how we can actually have a kind of open framework that can invite interesting proposal coming from the young curators as well. But at the same time, ourselves have to think about what do we want to talk about and what will be interesting to engage.
Interesting that you should say you were all asked to think about what is Southeast Asia. Don't we know what it is?
We live in Southeast Asia. I think sometimes we might not be aware of the kind of historical currency that or the dynamics that is happening because we are actually in the situation. But I think this would in a way force us to be more critical of who we are, what we are, or what we have been or could be in the future.
Is that a question that came from Japan Foundation?
Yes.
Hattori?
Yes, the question came from the Japan Foundation actually. And SEA has so many meanings. Exactly, literally meaning the sea, and also Southeast Asia, and then also different meaning like socially engaged arts. So there are lots of layers for our project.
So geographically, we know what it is, but once we go beyond geographical boundaries, when we talk about races and ethnicities and culture, things start to blur quite quickly. Zing, what role do you play in all of this?
I'm actually one of the selected participants from Kuala Lumpur, from Malaysia, and there are two of us. Other than also helping or assisting with so-called core curatorial teams that are working on the four major exhibitions in those four cities that Sao Bin spoke about, I will also be given an opportunity, a grant, and time to work on my own exhibition. Also responding to Escape from the Sea, but also thematically the question, what is Southeast Asia? So mine's slightly different from Escape from the Sea, but that's only happening towards the end of the year.
How did you select the artists involved? Was it basically you have a list of people that you said, these are the people to invite, or did you have an open invitation?
We do have a list of artists that we think through what are the possible work they have produced and what are the work that they might be able to produce. So it's a combination in terms of thinking the artist that we are familiar or someone that we would like to work with or certain work that we think would be very interesting to have them in the show. So it's actually a different approach. So that would actually require a long process. So Hattori-san and myself, and then also with the co-curating team, when we meet up in Tokyo and in KL, so we just throw out names, throw out ideas, and look at what are the possible books they have, they could do, or projects, their methods and approach that would be interesting for the project.
I remember reading something in the press releasing that these are all contemporary artists. Anybody who is living today can be called a contemporary artist. But from the perspective of the approach to art, are these contemporary artists?
Well, not just in terms of the media, but I think also in terms of the sensibility and the intellectual or critical
approaches
or the question they are asking, right? A contemporary in a sense, yes, it's very of presence, of now, the issue. But of course, what they look into could be the past, could be history, and could be looking into the future. So in terms of the language, the visual language or the artistic language they use, could fall into loosely a kind of a global contemporary practice.
Do you need contemporary artists to explore these kinds of questions? Or that, you know, somebody who might be an abstract expressionist or whatever, or someone who might be a very traditional watercolorist, somehow they may not approach these kinds of topics in the way that may unpack it the way you would like it to?
I think it's a question of, like, does your language dictate what you speak and what you say? Which is, I think, some question that we do think about. You know, is it, do you read what you are? Or
are you what you read?
Right? The way you speak certain things, is it because of your familiarity of a certain language? Or could it be the other way around? This, I think, is not just a linguistic issue, and it's not necessarily an artistic issue as well. So for me, I personally go back and forth. I'm also debating on this. Is it because of the practice you do, and therefore you engage a certain type of work and certain type of teams?
So this question about, you know, what about their approach to art that makes them somehow more appropriate for this kind of exhibition was something that you had to kind of grapple with all the time. So it's not just a matter of these are all the artists in Malaysia, we might just pick anybody and they can speak to this topic. Mm-hmm. What does the exhibition want to unpack about this thing, escape from the sea? Who is escaping from what sea and escaping to where?
It's not easy to answer. But I think this time, the idea of border is one keyword to think about our exhibitions. It's not easy to define this is a border, or you can cross the border, or you cannot cross the border. So lots of participating artists exploring their own border, I think. And also, we don't use same language, but we can share contemporary issues through their visual projects.
If I may ask, I think the idea of border here is not necessarily just a
geographical
border or physical border as well. The border that Hattori-san speaks about also could include into private and public spaces. The idea of historical border, in a sense, a kind of metaphor of what we understand, historical issue instances, and how artists would use their own method, for example, interviews, collecting images, archival materials, and repackage it in a poetic way, in an artistic way, to offer their own nuances reading, to offer a certain interpretation, right? To come up with imaginary movie studios to talk about a story. So that, in a sense, unpack our stereotype of the borders as well.
Perhaps to help us somehow visualize and also come up with some ideas of kinds of questions that we might be asking ourselves as viewers, take one exhibit and talk us through it.
Ao Sao Yee, a Malaysian KL and Taipei-based video artist, and her project is Chris Project 1. So we are actually featuring this project by Sao Yee, and it's actually based on her previous project, which is actually looking at a kind of fictional idea of a sea, an ocean, and an island in somewhere in Southeast Asia, somewhere in South China Sea, if you want to call it, or Nanyang, if you want to call it, right? And then looking at this location, this fictional location, and using her ideas or her research on politics of imageries and looking at different type of film that made in this era from the 50s, 60s until very recent, which is basically movies produced during the Cold War period. So what she's actually looking at, taking all these imageries from
there.
Of
the Chris.
Not of the Chris directly, but looking at how these movies and the content and the narratives that it dealt with actually echo the kind of ideology, the kind of lifestyle, the kind of politics during the Cold War period, during the formation of ASEAN and Southeast Asian, actually has a certain relationship. But what she turns around is that by taking this material to weave in her own narrative, a narrative about aspiration of migration, narrative of national forming, the narrative of people coming in and how they want to weave a story of coexistence. So the project, she calls it Mengkerang Project. So Mengkerang Project, right, Sao Yi, is what she has done for the last 2-3 years. And then now she's moving to a new series, which is Chris Project.
I keep hearing about Chris, as in K-R-I-S, Chris.
Yes, it is, yeah, that Chris Project.
And yet the Chris is not manifested in any of the films, or is it something... The title would force us to look for the Chris. And if the visuals are about dialogues or people gathering and the absence of the Chris, and then as a more literal viewer, I'm not sure how to connect the Chris to this discourse that you are presenting.
Yeah, sure. But I guess, and that's perhaps the speculative nature of contemporary art practices. Or, you know, it's not necessarily a choice or a prescription, but most artists would choose objects or narratives that are not necessarily literal in that sense to explore that, because it's not a didactic process where we need to educate the audience about what is border, what is history, whether it's history that is told to us through textbooks or histories that are lived through us as embodied experience or stories that we hear from our family, our grandparents, you know. So I think in this particular work of Sao Yi, the film and the installation explores an alternative imagination of a history. As in, if we could today live in the 50s and the 60s, at the point in which the country was just coming together to build a national identity, how would a person today reimagine that if they could live in that period? I could perhaps share another work.
Yeah, I would like you to share another work. For but sure. Before you go there, then what is the tension between the title and the depiction that's visual?
The Chris Project actually refers to, if I may say, her research on the film industries from the 60s, the Shaw Brothers, the Cathay. Chris here, in a way, is a symbolism that at that time, a signifier that perhaps different group of people would like to have access and gain currency.
Are we dancing around something that we have not given a word to? Are we talking about the Malay culture? Is that too simple? Or that we're talking about cultures that are associated with the Chris, or races or ethnic groups associated with Chris?
I wouldn't say the artist want to pin directly to that. I think it could allude to the kind of critique. Who can claim or how accessible is that dream of belonging and becoming part of this land and part of this symbols, if I may just leave it there.
Okay. I'm speaking with three people who are involved in the group exhibition titled Escape from the Sea, Yap Shao Bin, Hattori Hiroyuki and Go Ziying. Coming up, more about the exhibition and the accompanying talks, lectures and interactive activities that will be augmenting the visual works in the exhibition venues. This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with Yap Sao Bin, Hattori Hiroyuki, and Go Ziying, who are all curators, researchers, folks who are responsible for an exhibition titled Escape from the Sea. Ziying, you were about to volunteer an explication on the exhibition's exploration when Yao Bing obliquely concluded his enlightening remarks on the exhibit, Chris.
I've had the privilege of actually working with a couple of artists who came to do their research in Malaysia, and one of whom, a Japanese artist, Shitamichi Motoyuki, his work really just explores both the literal and the geographical border and also sort of personal borders that perhaps pose questions that are never asked to kids. So he worked with school children. But the one that was more literal was he collects the water from the Straits of Johor.
So the Japanese artist came over to Malaysia and dealt with the kinds of either material or issues that we are facing over here.
That's right. Yeah.
Facing is maybe not the right
not
word.
Not facing,
but
yeah. But you're right. The sort of materials or the sort of items that perhaps we don't look at on an everyday level. We cross the streets, we don't look at what's beneath us or what literally makes our borders. So he took some water, and so that's going to be part of the exhibit. But maybe Hattori can also explain a bit more, because he's been speaking with this artist for quite a while.
He collected lots of objects and something about borders. One project is collecting waters between different countries. He collected water between Taiwan and Okinawa and Japan and Russia. And this time he collected water from the sea between Singapore and Malaysia and also the other side.
Malaysia. And Thailand.
Thailand.
Tell us a little bit more about the work here. If I go into the gallery, what will I see? Now that he's collected this water, are they all in test tubes? Or, I mean, I don't know.
For him, not only showing the visual, but for him, like, relation between others are very important. For example, this time, Z told you that he did workshop with school children, and he asked children to write up their own borders. You know, when you are small kids, that your world is very, very small. And then he was asking children to write down about his or her own border. And then he collected the short essays by the students. And the students wrote their own borders. And then he tried to collaborate with newspaper company to put the students' essays on the paper. And then it's his project. He collected borders of children, and also for him it's same like the border between the different countries. Sometimes it's private and public, and sometimes it's the national borders. But before, for example, national border never exist. Now, of course, we have this kind of border. So he tried to doubt what is a border or what is relation, and he would like to combine these two different works into one work. That's what he tried to do this time.
Maybe visually, if I go into a gallery, what is it I see? So there are newspaper.
Yes, there are actually three works by this particular artist. And as what was explained by Hattori-san, all these different objects that come together at the APW Bangsa, one of the exhibition spaces, would allow, I suppose, the visitors to be confronted by, firstly, can you actually pinpoint or reduce the entire concept of border to one object, and in this sense, the water that he's collected between Singapore and Malaysia. But with the newspaper essays, it is something a bit more personal, perhaps, to see the kind of simplicity or the naivete of what is expressed by the school children about their personal borders, to kind of get that connection, perhaps, to realise that, yes, we too have this sense of personal border that kept growing as our experiences in this world grew as well. So I think it's this collection of works that, in a way, seriously but also playfully confront the people who would come to this exhibition about these questions that we don't think about, that we allow to sort of let go this idea of borders. We just think of our borders as we have a passport. It's this imaginary line that is drawn on the map. But I think the question of borders kind of like expand beyond these simple things.
I think in terms of exhibitional form, what it might be, it's actually a combination of images of the water that he has collected, and then he will put it in the tube and whatnot. But also, an artist is thinking of a possibility of getting the having some audio work that brings in there. So it's almost like a little installation, a very theatrical situation whereby we enter this space and the work, and then look at what are borders for nation and what are borders for children and what are the borders in between all this and how it would let us experience, look at it, think, and then say, wow, is border really as fluid as water? And if it's so fluid as water, why are we so caught up,
so fixated? I don't
know, fixated is the right word, you know, with controlling that. So, and she's bringing out that idea that when we are growing up, the psychology of border is actually somehow conditioned or somehow
drummed into us.
But there's always the possibility of transgressing. There's also always the possibility of looking for that little gap so that we can find an alternative, that we can find a way to escape. Not to get away from that, but to think, to imagine a different poetic act.
I assume the water collected from Singapore's side of the causeway or from Johor's side, in test tubes, the water would look the same. I assume it could be like one is, desalinated water, one somehow is not desalinated and has all the Johor whatever in it. I don't know. My assumption is that I want to see all these test tubes of clear water, and then we are forced to look at the narratives which are quite different, you know?
It's actually not that clear. I was there with you. So we look at the water, wow, it's not that bluish. Eh? It's actually greenish and things like that.
But you can never define this water is from here or this water is from here. It's very important. Mm. Always water is connected.
Yeah, that's true.
Protein.
I assume Japan Foundation works on these kinds of things with the premise that artists have a role to play in society. What is that role? To tell us? To show us? To prick our consciences?
Japan Foundation take importance not only artworks, but also they encourage more exchange between not only artists, but curators exchange, and curator and artist, and also the audience, and maybe general publics from different places. So for them, co-curation of different nationalities are very important. I think they would like to develop new generations, new way of curating or making contemporary art scene.
It certainly is a kind of a regional engagement from seeing from a Southeast Asian region point of view that, because the Japan Foundation, I think, has been doing a lot of cultural and artistic work with different nations. And of course, in KL, I think they had the film festival and then bring different kind of performance. But within the contemporary art practice, it's a long time coming. It has been quite some time in terms of curating and contemporary art project has been developed in working with Malaysian content especially. So I think it's a good move for them.
Since both you, Sobin, and Zi Ying, both are people who work in the art industry as at least part of the ecosystem, how strongly do you feel about the role of art in society and therefore artists?
Firstly, let's get this straight. Art does not save lives. But I think, you know, beyond saving lives, though, to sort of have a discussion about the utility or the importance of art or culture is one that is very contested. And I don't think it is fair for curators or artists to stress its importance. I think what is important, though, is in the role of the people who are arts workers to continue doing what they do as a way of creating another perspective or another mode of seeing our world right now, whether it's a world that is besieged by political incompetencies. That's right. Or the sort of things that perhaps we assume only very traditional or serious vocations could resolve. Because art, like fiction or culture, in essence, is a collective aspiration. It tends to sort of condense our collective aspirations to show us the different ways of behaving and seeing these issues as well. So how can we change ourselves individually? Perhaps art may move people to change themselves individually before attempting to do something for the society.
So perhaps art doesn't save life, but it might trigger certain emotions in the onlooker, or it might give certain ideas to someone reading a certain poem, looking at a picture, watching a movie, being touched by a GIF file, and it might change their life. The idea, it doesn't save your life in that sense, but it might give you ideas to change, or to change not only ours, but maybe take a certain action, take up a certain idea, or help us think through certain problems that we might have. Mm. So I'm still looking at that angle. It could have certain conceptual or philosophical work that it could do, but not saving the kitten. It might help you decide that you want to save the kitten.
Which is equally important. Because if you can save the kitten and choose not to save the kitten is dead, right? Notwithstanding all the technology there is. So I think for me, these kinds of exhibitions are central. But the question for me is always, because so many of us also think that art or culture, the invisible culture, unimportant, we don't take time to go into the art galleries. And therefore, we're not challenged. Or we live in whatever we already assume are the things to believe in. So how are you going to pull people in? How are you going to pull in the people who don't normally walk into a gallery? Because if you are only pulling those who would normally walk into the gallery, you are talking and preaching to the converted, the choir boys.
Let's look at the exhibition this time. It's actually one exhibition, but in two different sites. One is in the National Art Gallery. Now, if you look at the people who go in there, very often artists and
school kids,
actually. So what is wonderful with the National Art Gallery right now is that they have a lot of school kids going there. Yeah, contrary to our perception of the National Gallery, right? They have school kids and things like that. So is the other way around is that where are the adults or where are the cultural sensitive consumer? Then if we look at APW, the arts printing works in Bangsar right now, is actually upscale print warehouse, right? And then repurposed to have to as an event space together with some quite posh cafe. And we can't deny the patrons of that are very often from a different financial background. So at least what I think would be interesting is that how do we connect these two places and we are trying to bring the audience from both sides to each other.
Is the exhibition being replicated in two different spaces, or that some exhibits are going to be in the National Art Gallery and some in the art printing works?
Very different work.
So in other words, to see the entirety, you must cross.
You must cross. You must take time. You must go through space, right? You can walk through the humid sun of KL, right? That's one of the work, actually, is an 11-kilometer walk with the artist, right? You can drive. You can take Uber. You can take different things. But I think that is a challenge for looking at an exhibition, looking at work, is that actually, we do take time to really absorb something, right? I personally go to see shows at least twice, so to go at different time to look at the work again. So I think it's important for us to complete this exhibition. It is a challenge to complete. You actually need to take time, and you have to traverse through the humidity and the traffic jam of Kuala Lumpur to get to the other side to look at that. So you have 2 months, actually. You have 2 months to take your time to absorb this exhibition and the work.
Anything to add?
Yeah, sure. What is quite exciting to look forward to this exhibition are some of the other works. For instance, by a group of four, Mark Tay, Wong Tay Si, Faik Shazwan, and Ali Asari. Their exhibit is actually a research in progress. So
the Baling
No, it's not. It's called The Complete Futures of Malaysia, Chapter 1. And other than just displaying memorabilia and also articles, essays, magazines about Vision 2020, the so-called future that was created in 1991, they are also sort of mapping the different constructions and conceptions of futures, near futures, mid futures, far futures. So they actually have a collection box located in APW, where they're inviting the visitors to also come and throw in their Wawasan Doplo badges or paraphernalias. But also at the Balai, the National Art Gallery, Yang Tu and Kenta Ishige has a sort of automatic hacking machine, a robot, which kind of produces graffiti in an automatic manner.
The title is quite nice. It's called Cargo Cult. And Cargo Cult refers to during the Second World War when the Americans were dropping materials in the Micronesian, Polynesian area. So the natives were fascinated by the things that came from the sky, all these objects, whether they were propaganda materials or even fruits and resource basic substances. And then that developed into a very interesting anthropological practice, is that they were looking at it, they were actually idolizing all this. So Yang Tu and Kenta Ishige took up that idea of cargo cult and applied this, questioning the issue of art, actually.
You have how many artists involved? 14? Well, Escape from the Sea is a group exhibition which brings together works by 14 contemporary artists from Malaysia, Japan, Singapore, Indonesia and the Philippines. This exhibition explores and questions notions of identity, belongingness and history through the politics of borders in this region and beyond. The exhibition will start Friday, February 24th and runs through Sunday, April 23rd. That, by the way, is Shakespeare's alleged birthday. The venues of the exhibition are the Balai Seni Visual Negara, also known as the National Art Gallery of Jalan Tun Razak, and at the Art Printing Works on Jalan Riong in Bangsa. Gallery hours of the National Art Gallery, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and admission is free. And at the other place, the Art Printing Works is from noon to 8 p.m. daily. And beyond the works on display, there are talks, discussions, and other related activities. So do visit the National Art Galleries and Art Printing Works websites for more information. Thank you all three for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Front Row on the Big Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.